This is the Wally Show podcast. To hear the live version, check us out each weekday morning through the WayFM app or at our website, wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
Here's what's going on today.
This year's Super Bowl will be a history maker thanks to two players, Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Eagles and his younger brother, Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs, will be the first ever brothers to be playing against one another at the big event. Did I say all that right, Gavin?
You did say all that right. I didn't know that.
So that's
you didn't
cool.
know this?
No, I didn't know they were the first brothers ever. That's
but
really
you knew
cool.
they were brothers.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of like a civil war.
Well, it may have happened in the past where two brothers played on the same team.
But not against.
But not against each other.
The clash of the Kelces. I love it.
The boys' biggest fan, their mom, Donna Kelce, has always supported each of their sporting careers. At one point when both boys were in their NFL wildcard games on the same day, she drove 1,300 miles in one day just so she could be there in person for both.
Wow. Oh, now that's a good mom and really trying to prove that she doesn't love one more than the other.
Exactly.
But there's one that is a favorite. You got to know that.
Now with Super Bowl 57 looming, Donna was asked her thoughts on seeing both of her boys on the same field. She stated that since childhood, they've always been very competitive towards one another, and that even with age, neither are still good at losing.
I get that. That's why they do what they do for a living.
Yeah,
too.
Their dad is thankful for the fact that both his sons won't be on the field at the same time, since each play for their team's offense, meaning it probably, quote, rules out any fist fights.
Oh, that would be great. They just go at it. So they're on the same, they both play offense. So they just, I could see the frustrations. And finally, one of them just walks over to the sideline, hits the other one.
And if you're like me, you're wondering which jerseys the parents wear at the event. Well, I'm not sure, but there is a photo of Donna, their mom, sporting a jersey that's perfectly halved with both players' teams and numbers.
That's nice. And it's great because when you put it together, the last name is still the same on the back.
That's true.
You cut it down the middle. It's perfect.
Yep, exactly.
There you go. That's a good mom, man. Unbelievable. I hope they take care of her. And, you know, it's really cool. They'll be. I wonder what the cake at the end looks like, too. Like,
Yeah, you can't congratulate.
Yeah, like you have a half and half cake. There's a consolation half and a winner's cake.
Loser.
Exactly. All right, well, that's going to do it for your news. Thank you, Lady Rock.
I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it.
Uplifting WayFM. This is the Wally Show, and they say absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I think there's something true to that. My wife is living her best life without me right now. She's down at Disney hanging out with my daughter and my sisters and just having a great old time. I'm here working. And
paying
so,
the bills, yeah. being responsible.
Providing for
yeah,
her
exactly.
weekend.
Yeah, she's retired. I'd like to retire, but I cannot because of her lifestyle. no, and so you think about it. Betty had asked me the other day, you know, she was like, you know, I bet you miss her, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. Now, I do get more things done, like, because I'm a very task-oriented person, and, and she's very social, and so she, like, if we're ever just hanging out, it's like, oh, well, let's watch a movie together today or something, and it's like, okay, that's awesome, and I'll shelve what I was going to work on that day to spend time with her, you know.
Sacrifice.
And, yeah, and so when she's gone, I get a lot more done, but... Betty asked the question. She was like, well, what do you miss about her when she's gone? And I didn't think very long because I knew, I mean, there's a list, obviously. And I was like, I think the questions. I think I miss the questions. When she's asking me questions in the moment, a lot of times I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like having a 4-year-old, like this question after question after question. And like when she's here, I'm like, okay. But then, like, some of her questions are really funny and like things I could never possibly know. Like, why do you think that, how cold do you think that horse is to wear a blanket? You know, like, I'm like, where did that come from? Like, she has the most bizarre, weird questions, and I find that I miss those questions when she's gone.
I would also think, too, that you miss her taking care of you in that I asked you, what did you have for dinner last night?
Yes.
And you shelled out a box of Cheez-Its.
Yes, I do miss that.
Yeah.
I eat better when she's home.
Right. But you don't realize, like you said, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You don't realize the things that she does for you until she's out of town.
Yeah. So what is that thing you find that you appreciate about your spouse when they are gone and they come home? And like, oh, yeah, I really do appreciate that. Okay. 855.
And you don't have to think long about it because it just comes straight to your mind. You're like, oh, yeah.
The phone should already be loaded up, especially if you're a guy. You should absolutely 100,000,000,000% know this answer right off the top of your head. But if you need a second, that's fine. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. And it can work either way, because actually women can appreciate things that, you know, about their husband that they take for granted while they are around, you know? And so I think it could go either way for sure. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. What's that thing that you really find you appreciate about your spouse when they're gone?
He's my chauffeur. He drives me everywhere.
Do you not like to drive?
No. I mean, I will, but I have to do all the shopping, so I make him drive me everywhere, and he doesn't mind driving me as long as he can sit in the car.
I bet when you're gone, he doesn't drive anywhere. Next time you're gone, you should take an odometer reading before you leave of your car and then come back and see how many miles he's driven since you were gone. I bet it's 5.
I'm actually going on a trip in June, so I think I might do that just to see. But I don't, because I don't think he goes anywhere. He's like, oh, she's not here. I don't got to drive.
That's right. I love it, man. That's great, Jody. Thanks for being on with us today.
Thanks.
So for you, Courtney, what is that thing that you find you appreciate most when your spouse is gone?
His security. He always makes us feel really safe, and I kind of take that for granted because he's a firefighter and he's a night owl, and I usually go to bed early, and it's so annoying how he'll wake me up in the middle of the night because I'm such a light sleeper. But then when he's gone, I'm like, I kind of miss that because I just, you know, he makes me feel like a lot more safe and secure at night.
That's interesting. You know, he's on watch, you know, he's just holding it down. And you have to be away from him constantly because of his work. Like, is he like a one-off, two-on kind of thing or vice versa?
Yeah, 24 on, 48 hours off. And usually he's like, he says he has to levitate when he comes in the room so he doesn't wake me up because I just have that. But then, you know, the other night I thought I heard a noise in the middle of the night and I wake up in a panic and he's like, yeah, see, you say I'm annoying when I'm home, but when I'm gone, you sure do miss me. I'm like, I know, I kind of take that for granted, you know, just because your husband always makes you feel like more safe and secure at night. If something's going to go down, he's going to hopefully be the one there to protect you.
Yeah, it's funny because in Gavin's house, it's just the opposite.
He needs his wife around to feel safe.
Yeah, he feels more safe because of Haley. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. When you read things like, hey, I'm asking for prayers for my best friend and her 12-year-old twins. They have a lot of anxiety. One is suicidal and was recently hospitalized, and they're getting professional help, but the professionals and them need the Lord's guidance and healing. You know that that's a tough thing in a family, and you just want your kids to be okay. And when they're not, you're not okay. And there's so much stress. The irony is your children have anxiety, but their anxiety can cause you to have anxiety over them. And it's just a mess. And you're like, man, I wish there was some place people could get help. Oh, my goodness. Like, that's why we have the prayer wall, which is great because people can post prayer requests on the prayer wall. And that's exactly where this came from. And good people that go there and spend the time praying for people make a difference, you know, and it's really cool the way it kind of works.
Yeah, when you go to wayfm.com or when you text the word pray to 91979, we send you a link that takes you straight to the prayer wall. You'll see all of these requests people have posted, like the one that Wally read, similar ones. You can pray for those people. When you do, you can see a little check mark to the side, a little box that you can check in. When you do that, it sends a notification to that person that posted the request on saying hey, I prayed for you. They'll get that notification on their phone or through their email just saying, you know, just to be reminded that they're not alone in what they're facing.
See, that's the thing I like about the prayer wall the most. Like, it's great that you can go and you can write something down, post it, and it helps you, like, okay, I did this. It gets it off your chest a little bit or whatever. And that would be great in and of itself. But the next level part of this is when people pray for you and you get another notification. And, you know, you might get 5 right out of the gate, and then later on you're going through life and your anxiety's starting to come back in over it, and then all of a sudden, ding, your phone goes off. Somebody else prayed for you. It's just a reminder that people are lifting up your request to God, and I think that that's the greatest part of the mm-hmm. prayer wall. And you can be a part of it. You can post prayers, and all I ask is that if you're going to go there and post one, pray for one, because that will help you too in the middle of what you're walking through. But then you also get to be that part of the equation that does something great for somebody else and reminds them that they're not alone as well. So we've got it for you. It's at wayfm.com. It's called the prayer wall, or you can text the word pray to 91979 and we'll send you that link.
Coffee shops, poolside, back porch, picnic table at the park, at your kid's soccer practice. Just about anywhere can be your classroom when you decide to go back to school online at Colorado Christian University.
I know I got my degree online, and I actually did a homework at a campsite. I was sitting around a campfire writing a paper. That is where I did some of my work that weekend. So life doesn't have to stop just because you go back to school to better yourself. You can work towards this future and this goal that you want to accomplish, and it doesn't have to totally consume you or derail your normal life with friends, your family, or what have you.
And you can earn accredited degrees from Colorado Christian without ever setting foot on campus.
So there really shouldn't be an excuse to not going back to school. If it's something you really want to do, you can do it. And all you have to do is go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And the other really important thing is that Colorado Christian is committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart. So check it out, ccu.edu/Wally.
Uplifting WayFM.
Here's what's going on today.
So you probably remember the name Duggar, the Duggar family from the TLC show, 19 Kids and Counting. It was a giant religious family who was an oddity to the rest of the world. But sadly, like some of the things the oldest brother Josh did, made it clear that they were not immune, you know, and that messed up behaviors of this world, no matter how hard you try to isolate or insulate yourself from it, can happen, you know. And so the fourth daughter now, though, Ginger with a J, because they were all like mm-hmm. Jim Bob and...
They know, all started with J's.
Exactly. And so she has a book out, and I don't really remember her because in these shows, a lot of times it's the first like 3 kids because they're older mm-hmm. and they get all the time. And then the younger kids are just kind of there in background, you know. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I had stopped watching it, she might have been more prevalent. But she was the fourth daughter. And basically, there is a book that she's written. And the initial headlines made it sound like she was renouncing her faith entirely, like she was out. I grew up like this. I don't want to do this anymore. But as you read into it, that's not the case. And I was kind of happy to see that, you know. It's like she talked about how she is renouncing the teachings that she grew up in this church that they went to. And for her, the final straw was the pastor of the church stepped down after allegations of sexual harassment from young female members. And she was like, he's definitely a false prophet, a false teacher. And, you know, she likens it to a cult, you know. And it's tough because she says her parents still subscribe to the teachings, but she's gone a different path, not away from her faith, but away from this man, you know, in his teachings.
Yeah, right. So. Well, and I guess I think family get-togethers would be very awkward now because, I mean, a lot of drama has happened between different family members, and it's sad to see, but sure. How do you mend a family relationship like that?
Well, I mean, you got to give grace, and that's how we mend a lot of things. And she actually said that. She said, I'm really grateful for my parents. So it's not like she's throwing out her parents and their teachings and what they how they raised her. She said, they sought to give me the best life, and you do what you think is best for your kids. And I believe that, but we're not always perfect.
Yeah, and I think that's a mature way of looking at it. Like, your parents aren't perfect people. They did the best with what they could, and you take it for what it is.
Yeah, she said that she's still a devout Christian. So again, this is what I was happy with, because your faith becomes your own, you know, as you get older. And sometimes the things that you were raised with, you're like, okay, I don't know that I subscribe to that, you know. And she said, I'm still a devout Christian, minus the long skirts and patriarchal rules that plagued my upbringing. And I'm taking a different approach with my young daughters. But she is keeping them off social media and all of that stuff because she does see the dangers in that.
I think everybody should see that.
Oh, absolutely. So I thought there was like some good news inside of this beyond the headline. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing. The headline's salacious, you know, walks away from her faith. And it's like, wait, that's not what's right. happening. But that's the narrative that people want to tell. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. It's Tuesday, so we're doing a little Time Capsule Tuesday. We're Gavin, Betty, and I each pick a song, and we play it from a year gone by, and then you get to decide which song we play more of here on the show. And it feels good to go back in time to some music. And this year, we are going all the way back to 1987.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you forget?
I did.
The one who chose it.
Yeah.
1987. So how old were you in 87?
I had just graduated high school.
Wow.
I graduated in 86, so I would have been my first year out of school.
Mm.
And there were some doozies this year.
Oh, 87 is all about the synthesizers. Mm-hmm. I've realized it's a little Casio piano, yeah. And then let's put a synthesizer on it.
Well, I'm going to start with mine. It's I Still Believe by Russ Taff, which kind of taps into a little bit of Michael Bolton in a way.
Ooh.
Kind of that raspy voice and very, very passionate and powerful. Oh, I still believe. There's the keyboards. Woo-hoo. Betty was talking about. Yeah, I kind of, you know what, I'm going to say I don't hate this, so
really?
Yeah, I'm a fan. That's why I picked it. I like it. It was from my era.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's not bad. Okay, next is Gavin. What do you got?
I have got Mr. Michael W. Smith.
Oh, you shot right down the middle.
Well, this is a version of him that I personally have never heard of. I mean, okay. He's been doing this for so long, but he feels like he's tapping into maybe like kind of with Russ Taff, like just a little bit of raspiness.
What's the song called?
This is called Emily.
I don't know this song.
I didn't know it either.
Okay, this will be cool. On the water, balancing your dreams, hoping ends will meet their means, but you feel alone. Yeah, just so you know, your mic is still on.
Sorry.
Rock. She's like, what in the world? Oh, my goodness gracious. This is atrocious. Oh, am I on? Okay.
Gosh. That wow. was just a lot.
It makes me want to clear my throat a little
bit.
It
sounds like he's trying to pass a kidney stone.
Yeah. He was very emotive. And again, yeah. Super. I mean, he's a miracle, man. He is a daily reminder that there is a God. Because a very nasally voice that you would think wouldn't have made it, but he had something to say and God used him in a big way. Here we go. Betty Rock, what's yours?
All right. Mine is BB and CC Winans with I Owe You Me.
Don't know if any one of ours was good.
Yeah, it's a slow jam. You know, I get it. I get it. I can kind of hear it. A little Boy Meets World or Boy Meets Girl from that time.
Oh,
there's a band.
Oh.
Yeah, so I mean, I get it. Again, I was alive in this thing. Gavin wasn't even alive.
Nope.
I was, a teenager.
I was about to turn two.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
It explains why you guys picked the songs you did.
Yeah.
So now you get to decide. You've heard all three options. Which song do you want to go back in time with us for and with right now? 855-33-WAY-FM. Which one sounded the best to you? Which one do you remember? Which one gives you great memories and why? 855-33-WAY-FM. Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. Vicky, you've heard all the hooks of the different songs that are up for your consideration here for Time Capsule Tuesday. Back to 1987. Which song do you want to hear today?
Rock Tap.
Ooh, I Still Believe. That was my selection.
I Still Believe. Yeah.
Vicky, what made you decide on that one out of all the three?
Because I'm like Wally. I was a rocker.
Vicky, what year were you born?
1970.
Okay, so you're only 2 years younger than me.
Okay, so I'm guessing that you have to have been born back then to appreciate the music of the 80s. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I just don't see anything good about it.
Well, because that's what your high school days. You always, like, loved the music from your high school time, which would have been the 90s for you, Rock.
Yeah, but I'm not too crazy about the 90s.
Well, your dad raised you well. You know, like you're like a 60s kid, you know? So all the way back to 1987, we are going to do Russ Taff, I Still Believe. Outside of Striper, this is probably about as rocky as it got. So it's Time Capsule Tuesday. Vicky, thank you.
You are most welcome. I've been out on the cave for 40 days with only a spark. Light my way. I wanna give out. I wanna give.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. If you ever want to email me with whatever's on your mind, it's just wally@wayfm.com, and sometimes you even make it onto the show. This one started off with the subject line, I'm offended. Here's how I do my email, okay? So it was last night. I see this subject line in my email, and I'm like, okay. So I go through 25 other emails first answering those, and I saved it for dessert. Because I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm going to have an argument. All right. I'm ready to go. I'm mentally ready for this now. Mm-hmm. And so it says, I'm offended. I was listening to your podcast on January 10th. We have a podcast we do every day after the show. It's free. You can just get it by searching TWS or texting TWS to 91979. But I'm hearing Betty talk about the SNL skit with Keenan. And Betty does a small impression of Keenan and his... talking about Lindsay Buckingham. OMG. Why has Betty not done this impression before? She sounds just like him. I love it. I can't stop laughing. I'm offended that you all have not done this before.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
I was so you. Glad I saved that for, and it was like a nice surprise. I'm like, oh, good. Someone's not mad at us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, yeah. Lindsay.
Yeah.
Oh, Lindsay. You forgive me, Lindsay.
Betty does like one impression.
No, I can do multiple impressions.
Oh,
yeah. I can do like
they're all one,
Mel
right?
Gibson. Yeah, I can do Mel Gibson. Never take off a red.
Not Mel Gibson.
I can do.
Oh, wait, that is. Yeah, that one was.
I can do Aaron Neville.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, I stand corrected. She's pretty great. This one is.
Okay.
From Rebecca. She says, I just want to share something cool that happened. My nephew was at my house, and I'm part of the Music Team 10. Those are people that help us select the music. I was voting on songs, and See Me Through It by Brandon Heath came up. That's a great song. I know you're going to see me through it. If anybody can, you can. And it was playing the clip because, you'll get, if you're part of the Music Team 10, you'll get clips that you listen to and you help decide which songs get added because you're like, oh, I like this, I don't like this. But my nephew was next to me, and I saw him dancing out of the corner of my eye. And I don't know much about his exposure to Christian music at home, so I thought it was pretty cool, and it was catchy to dance to. And so I'm like, yeah, that's it, man. Kids are listening, and that's the cool thing about, Way FM. And you can share your faith sometimes accidentally or, subtly as well. And you never know where this kind of stuff goes. So if you ever want to email me, it's just that simple, wally@wayfm.com.
And now for some good news.
Yeah! Uplifting Way FM. This year's the Wally Show with a roundup of some good news stories because the regular news is a little bit of a bummer and we call it good news giddy up. I'm going to start off. There's a guy in New York that found out his wrecked car had actually helped a family escape the war in Ukraine. You're like, how? Yeah, exactly. That was my first question. He was in a wreck. His insurance company totaled it. It was a 2014 Jetta. And there was a guy in Ukraine that bought it for $2,000, had it shipped over, and actually ended up being the vehicle that he used to evacuate his wife and kids from the fighting in Ukraine. And he had found a piece of information about the original owner, like in the glove box, and contacted him let him know. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, your car saved my family's life.
That's
how crazy
awesome.
Is that? Good news, giddy up. Gavin, go.
There are two 12-year-olds in Massachusetts. They recently went hiking, and they found a grenade in a pile of trash. So they took a picture, remembered they were, and went and got an adult. The town's chief of police called them wicked smart.
Yeah.
For how they handled it, and it turned out it was a real grenade, so they did handle it very good. It wasn't alive, though.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It wasn't live.
Sure. I had a friend that had a grenade collection, and he was not stable, but they were all not live. But we, like,
good call.
Yeah, definitely good. But I love this. My favorite part of that story is they're wicked smart. Like, that's what the police chief said.
Massachusetts.
Says. That's so great. Good news, giddy up. Betty Rock, go.
There's a YouTube star. His name is Jimmy Donaldson, but he likes to go by Mr. Beast.
I've seen this.
Okay. Well, anyways, he's in the news for some good. He helped 1,000 people be able to get cataract surgery so that they could see again. These people had been considered legally blind because of their cataracts, and they just couldn't afford the surgery. Mainly, some of them were from homeless shelters and free clinics in Florida, but he was able to pay for all of those cataract surgeries.
He does this thing where he goes and he'll do these big things and give money to people at random. Like, and you're like, where does this come from? Is it people just like donating to his YouTube channel and he does it? I don't know the backstory of him.
I think that he gets, because he get his videos are the most viewed videos on YouTube. He has the most subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I don't 100% know how YouTube revenue works, but I think it's the revenue that comes from these 50 million viewed videos, and then he turns around and just uses it to, you know, pour into other people's lives. That's guy's only 24 years old, by the
way. That's crazy. Wow. Good on him. And then it actually becomes a thing that just keeps rolling that way, that the videos fund more goodness. That's kind of cool. Finally, someone's using social media for something good.
Uplifting Way FM.
News can be a little heavy, so we like to do news-ish. Here's Gavin.
We've gotten to this point where if you are not on social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, then you really are like an outsider. You're like, you're very rare to find people like that.
It's interesting because we have the show social media, and I'll post on that, and Betty Rock runs that thing, but I don't have any social media personally. I don't have a single account personally, which I love.
Great for you because you don't have to go and you're not tempted to get into like arguments that are unimportant on social media. And I remember my parents were pretty cautious with me getting on social media in the first place. I was probably 16 years old when they allowed me to have Facebook for the first time. And according,
that's good parenting, actually.
Well, according to the U.S. Surgeon General, they actually recommends that kids who are 13 years old shouldn't get on social media, and that parents should wait until their kids are around 16 to 18 years old to let them dive into that world.
Because like Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, their criteria is you got to be 13. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are kids that have it way before then, and I don't think it's healthy.
No.
We waited with my daughter till she was 13, and we still had to monitor it. You've got to be super involved as a parent, and it takes extra work, honestly, if you're going to let them have it. In retrospect, you know, because there's a weird thing where you're like, well, just don't let your kids have social media. But then you're like, okay, I want them to be plugged in their world, mm-hmm. too. And this is their world. And you kind of go back and forth on it. If I had it all to do over again, I think I would have held out and been like, let's go 15 at least. You know,
I even analyze it from a today standpoint. Yes, I think it's like essential in terms of interacting with the modern world. But I would have so much time back on my hands if I never jumped on social media. I think I'd get less frustrated with people. I might not, you know, catch certain news things because I don't watch the news, but I think I'd be a happier person without it.
You'd know how to interact with people, like, in general. Like, I still remember to this day, this guy who was calling my daughter. I think my daughter was maybe 13 or 14. And so this kid calls her, like a phone call.
Uh-oh.
And she's like, the phone's ringing. It's Carter. What do I do? What do I do? I'm like, you answer the phone.
Talk to him.
She's like, I don't know what to do. And it wasn't like it wasn't even like a love interest. It was just a friend of hers. Like she, because they were so used to texting and interacting that way. I'm like, pick up the phone. So I think you lose some social skills, honestly, with all of the time you spend online.
I think that was one of the things they mentioned too, is that it stunts your social growth.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's your most transformative years of your entire life, is like you're trying to figure out who you are. And if you're figuring out who you are on the internet as opposed to in the real world, I think it's going to be a really confusing life you're leading.
And that's the irony. It's called social media and it's supposed to connect you, but it can actually make you antisocial and disconnected as well. And so, yeah, definitely if you're a parent navigating these things today, you got to make your own call based on your kid and your situation. But regardless of what age you let them have it, you definitely want to monitor it and be in on it and set the rules right out of the gate. Hey, I'm letting you have this, but guess what? I own your phone. I own your room. I own you.
Wow.
Okay. But it's true.
It
like
is.
Your kid's got a better chance at coming out like remotely unscathed from their teenage years if you're involved, you know, absolutely. So there you go. A little advice from an old parent. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. Gavin pulled a amazing marriage man move the other day.
Yeah, I went to this antique store, which a few months ago my wife had seen an entertainment center at, saying she loved it. But at the time we had some trips coming up. We were like, oh, let's not make this financial decision to buy this now. And so a few months later, I'm in this place where I've saved up a little bit. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go back and check and see if it's there, get it for her and surprise her. And I even asked her to borrow, you know, her Forerunner, because it would fit in that instead of my Honda Civic. And I went to the store. It wasn't there because it's an antique store and you never know when things are going to get bought.
Mm-hmm.
And so
here's where Gavin made the genius move, though, is he went home and he told his wife what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
So I had the best intentions in the world. I was going to get to the entertainment center. I'm so sorry it was gone. So now she's, you know, bummed that it wasn't there, but she's so thankful for the kind, caring husband that she has, and it didn't cost him a dime.
No, not at all.
Like, that's why it's genius. He gets brownie points for doing the right thing, and it cost him nothing. That's so smart.
And that's what marriage is all about.
Absolutely.
Amen.
It is a game and a negotiation, and you got to outgame your partner.
Wow. So, not that marriage is a competition, but brownie points can help when you mess up later on, or it can just help in a way that you didn't see coming.
Okay, now I contend that I know women are always dealing out brownie points. Oh, here's some brownie points for you. Here's some brownie points for you. As guys, we realize we can never cash them in.
No.
Like, there's not a bank that you can go to and be like, hey, remember that time? I know you're mad at me now, but remember the entertainment center and I got 7 brownie points? I'd like to cash in 6 of those right now.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have made me mad to begin with.
Exactly, because the brownie points don't matter. Like, that's the fallacy in our system. The system's broken.
Take
we
it
need
up
to
with
fix
someone
it.
Who cares.
Exactly. We need to fix the system here. But I am curious, okay? So Gavin got brownie points that he can never cash in, but he got them. So he's wealthy in brownie points. I am curious, what is the last thing that you as a woman gave your husband brownie points for? Whether he can cash them in with you or not, doesn't matter. But what was the last thing that you're like, man, that was awesome. You get brownie points, sir. It might actually give some guys good ideas, too, of like, you know what? This is how I should better treat my wife, regardless of, again, I cannot cash these in.
Right.
They're good for nothing except strengthening my marriage. You know, so. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. We love having you on the show with us, and we'd love your perspective here. As a woman, what was the last thing you gave brownie points to your husband for? What is the last thing you gave brownie points to your husband for, Heather?
My husband cleans the living room without me having to ask him. He knows that cleaning my love language.
Oh, nice. Now, did it pay off for him in any way?
Of course, I made him dinner and dessert.
Oh, nice. Okay, so this is transactional.
See, it does work. Yeah. Like, if you do something nice for me, I'll do something nice for you.
That's the secret to marriage.
Exactly.
Now, Heather, what was the last thing you did to get brownie points with him?
Oh, I do his laundry every week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's his wife. I think that's enough in itself.
See, again, I think that's where this is like kind of messed up the way you view this as women. Like, I'm always doing stuff.
But
you
don't
know?
You think it's a little messed up that he's a grown man that needs a woman to do his laundry?
No, I don't actually, because my wife does mine. So I think it's pretty great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What was the last time you actually gave some brownie points out, Haley, to your husband?
Last night, because my husband and I are 9 months pregnant, and I have been telling him he needs to be prepared to deliver my baby if it comes on the way to the hospital. And he finally read his first partner book last night, and now everything's good in the world.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he bought a catcher's mitt. I'm ready. All right, Amy, what was the last thing your husband got some brownie points from you for?
Well, my mother is 91 years old, and we are looking at moving her over. It's going to be a move from a different state. And I was looking at assisted living facilities near me and not expecting my husband to come to the meeting or anything. He would be at work all day. So I show up for the meeting, and he's already at the door there waiting for me just to be supportive.
Oh, that's so great, because that's a hard thing for you. And the fact that he, you know, showed up for you, even if he wasn't going to do anything, but he's just there. That's really cool.
It was. He was very helpful and even asked questions I wouldn't have thought about. So he was wonderful.
Real quick, he hadn't gotten fired that day, did he? I got nowhere else to be.
No, thank goodness.
Random acts of audio.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and today's random act of audio comes to you kind of from me, but courtesy of Betty and Gavin and a little thing we like to call a conspiracy.
Well, what? We have cameras that are in the studio filming 24/7 to catch, you know, little crazy things that might happen. Wally is addicted to his Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And when I say coffee, I use that term loosely because it's really not coffee. It's just liquid sugar. But when he gets it, he becomes a different person. That's what Gavin and I have told him. He doesn't believe us.
I'm a delight, actually. I'm better.
Well, him alone without sugar is hyper enough.
It's a 10.
Yeah, but him on sugar, it is so hyper, I can't even explain it. So we put together a video depicting what it's like being around Wally when he's hopped up on his coffee.
Okay, and you can see the video. Just text the word hyper to 91979, and we'll send you the link because it's on our socials. But here's a little bit of me in my purest form, in my happiest moment.
Oh, I see the foam on top. He got the foam on top. It's a big one.
First smell test.
Hot dang, they've done it again. Dunkin'.
Woo!
Woo! My heart will explode today.
I'm dancing there. Just random, spontaneous dancing.
Woo!
Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, you did your makeup. You didn't even eat it today.
I gotta go now.
And you might be wondering what that was. It's a can of air that you use to blow off computer, things
dust?
And dust. But I had gotten Dunkin' Donuts coffee on my beard, and I was using it to dry my beard. It's ingenious.
The part of this that's like, you know, you listen to 30 seconds of that. That's not just 30 seconds. That's three or four hours of him doing all of that.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, but it's glorious. And so check it out.
Yeah, so text the word hyper to 91979. We'll send you the link.
You guys are lucky. We did a coffee run yesterday, and there was no one that worked there. Like, they were closed. And we even paid online. So they owe me a coffee. So buckle up, Buttercup. I'm getting it tomorrow.
I'll never forget taking my first compassion trip, and we went to Ghana, Africa. When we got there to the site, there was this little girl. She was 6 years old. I later found out her name was Vivian, and she would not let go of my hand. She followed me everywhere I went on that site. And later, I got to meet her family. I met her mother and her siblings, and they all lived in this little mud hut. I mean, it wasn't big at all. And when I looked at Vivian, she had the biggest smile on her face. And she was just happy to be there, just happy to be with us. And it made such an impact in my life that I wanted to sponsor her right then and there. Because of my sponsorship for Vivian through Compassion, I'm able to write letters back and forth with her. I'm now getting updated photos. And now I think she's even taller than me, which is crazy to think. But I'm also able to see how my sponsorship is providing the food, clean water, and other support that she needs and her family needs to live the best life possible. And I can only imagine now with the pandemic, war, and weather disasters, there are so many other families like Vivian's who are dealing with hunger. So maybe you want to make an impact and sponsor your own Vivian. Just click the Compassion banner when you go to wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM.
If it ain't broke,
it's What Your People magazine would sound like with a southern accent.
Don't fix it.
It's The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
Japanese organizing consultant Marie Kondo became a household name after her Netflix show Tidying Up with Marie Kondo inspired many to declutter anything that didn't spark joy.
Choose items that spark joy for you.
I never saw this. I tried to watch it once, but then it was like that, and I would get lost in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, while she's never forced her way of cleaning onto anyone, some parents felt she was setting the bar too high on how a home with children should look.
It definitely does look different. And it's okay. You know, kids make a little mess, and they have things out, and I know some parents are like, everything has to be completely always clean. And that's just not reality, man.
Right. Well, Marie is now a mom of three. In a recent interview, she admitted that her home was messy.
Well, good.
But Marie has come to terms with it. She stated that before she was a mother, she found joy in spending her time tidying up. But now her time is better spent finding joy in playing with her kids.
You know what? That's healthy. That's good, because you can get so focused on the way things look and, you know, and you miss out on the joy with your kids of the mess. So sometimes the mess is the best.
Yeah.
It really is.
Look at that. But that doesn't mean she's put tidying on the back burner. She actually has come up with three helpful tips on how to tidy up with kids around.
Ooh.
So first is narrate as you tidy. So that means explain to your kids what you're doing together. And when you're explaining, make sure to have a smile on your face so that they realize it's a positive activity.
Not a chore. Do you guys ever remember the cleanup song? Clean up, everybody pick them up. Clean up. It's time to do your part.
I don't remember going like that.
How did you remember it?
Everybody do your share. Clean up. Everybody everywhere.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Same principle.
Both great.
Yeah.
A second rule is make tidying playful. So make sure they understand that playing and tidying go together, and always encourage them to tidy up after playing. So make sure that it's always what's expected.
Yeah. If I had a kid, like a young kid anymore, like a boy, and I wanted to put his clothes away, I would put a basketball hoop over his laundry hamper.
Yeah.
You know,
he'd find a way, though, to still put it on the floor.
Well, he's going to miss. Guys miss it, everything.
Yeah. And then lastly, give everything a home. So if your child knows where certain toys go, they can help with cleaning.
Oh, there you go.
Hey,
those are all good tips.
Three tips.
I think those are good tips for keeping the house clean, but I do think that the most important tip is don't let that run your life. You know, that it's okay to live in a little bit of mess here and there.
And have a little forgiveness for yourself, too.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. That's going to do it for your Rock Report. Thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and I came across this list of things that you should never do in a restaurant, you know, and I thought, okay, like they say, don't forget to wash your hands after handling the menu because it's one of the grossest places, you know, they don't ever wipe the menus down. I know, sorry to ruin your next eating out there, Betty Rock. Don't send food back just because it's not what you expected. If it was cooked wrong, send it back. But if you're like, oh, I thought it was going to be better tasting or whatever.
Right, that makes sense.
Don't leave gross stuff on the table for them to clean up.
Yeah.
You know, police yourselves a little bit. But this one was interesting. Don't rearrange the tables on your own. Because a lot of times you show up and you've got like a big group or whatever, like, oh, here, let's just pull this table over. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. And I didn't think about this too, but because restaurants are segmented, you could be pulling a table from another server's station and it messes up their thing, and then they've got to be like, well, that's my table, but I didn't do it. Those people did it, you know, kind of thing.
Well, just half the tip that you get.
No, That's you can no way. You gotta, can't do that.
Well, then what are we supposed to do?
I don't know. Well, not move the tables themselves. Say,
but
hey,
I want to move them.
I know, but that's the point of this. Is that this person is saying this is what you should not do at my job? Okay, I know you want to. And I know you think you're entitled to. And I know that you think you are the center of the universe, Miss Rock.
No, but don't I'm touch not. My no, table. I'm just saying, if you don't want it,
right.
Then
nail the tables down.
No,
so we cannot move them.
Show us what another option.
Yeah, okay. Well, not moving them and asking somebody is the other option. So here's the thing. All right, this is the conversation I want to have, though. Is that what are the things that people should not do at your job, okay? Like, so this one that we found out, don't move the tables, please. What about, like, you know, if you went to a hair place, you know, don't tidy up her hair station because it doesn't look the way you want it yet, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What are those things people should never do at your job? What is that thing that you think people should never do?
So I work at a jewelry store, and people come in to get their rings clean, and when they can't get them off, they will lick their finger or stick their entire finger in their mouth and then hand us their ring.
Do you guys have a plan for that? Like, do you have, like, a substance under the counter, like butter, that you could give them so they don't lick their finger?
Well, actually, we use Windex.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Windex will get your ring off.
So maybe when a new client comes in, before they can even take off their ring, you just offer them the Windex before it.
Well, we try, but they put that finger in their mouth so fast. I can't even get the Windex out.
What are those things that people, when they come to your job, should just not do, Andrea?
Donate things to a homeless shelter that they would not use themselves.
Yes. From your lips to God's ears. I think people treat, you know, homeless shelters, or they treat Goodwill as a dumping ground. Like, they don't know where to take something to throw it out. And so they're like, oh, well, let's just take it to Goodwill. They'll take it. They'll use it. And Goodwill ends up having to throw out stuff, or a homeless shelter has to end up throwing out stuff.
We spend a lot of money getting rid of things that people donate that they don't want to use for themselves, but they tell us, well, the people that live at your shelter are homeless, so they'll appreciate it. We're working with our families to help them reinstill their dignity and their self-worth. And so we're not going to give them things that are gross and dirty or torn or broken. That doesn't help. And I don't believe it honors the Lord.
What's the craziest thing you've seen try and be donated?
We get really disgusting things. Things that we've turned away are like a broken stroller.
Oh.
I mean, you're not going to put a child in that. So what are we going to do with it?
Yeah, right. Here's a three-wheeled stroller. Look, they're homeless. They should be happy to get this. No.
Right.
But go out and buy a new one. You want to do something good? Go buy a new one and donate it to a homeless shelter. That would be cool.
Right.
Well, Andrew, we definitely appreciate the work that you do on behalf of people that are kind of struggling, and that you take it so seriously and you respect and honor them. That's awesome.
Thank you.
What's that for you?
Well, I'm a school bus driver, and my goal is safety of our children always. And we have a lot of drivers who are in a hurry, and they think it's okay to speed up past the sign.
What if the sign, and I'm asking for Betty, what if the sign is on its way out, and you're kind of in that mid-range of, like, I'm right beside the bus. Do you stop, like, and you'd end up beside, like, the bus or near the front, or do you keep going at that point?
I think that when you see that yellow flashing light, you should slow down and go ahead and stop. It's always best to err on the side of caution. We're talking about our children here.
I feel like this is a no-brainer. When you see the stop sign coming off of a school bus, you know to stop. But
absolutely,
some people just have no idea.
Well, some people speed up and try to get past it.
That's right. True. It's kind of like trying to beat a yellow light, you know?
Yeah.
I think some people look at it that way. And you're absolutely right. Err on the side of caution, because it could be a life and death decision.
Oh, I hate goodbyes, but there's still more fun to be found through our YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. Don't forget to join our exclusive Potty Facebook group. You can find the link in the description of this podcast. And thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.